The reading from 1 Corinthians is probably familiar to a lot of you. This is one of those passages that is read at so many weddings. People think that it is the wedding passage. Which is really interesting because, by and large, this writing from Paul was not written for people who are already deeply in love with one another. It's probably not actually an exceptionally appropriate passage at weddings, except for the fact that if any of you have planned a wedding, you know that if two people do not love each other this way, there is no way they will get through the day of the big event. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians not as a way of reassuring them and reassuring people who were already deeply in love that they had it right, but as an admonition to a people who were divided and angry and riven with conflict. The people in Corinth had received the gospel of God joyfully and excitedly, and as soon as Paul left, appeared to have gotten involved in all kinds of arguments and disputes. And the whole first letter to the Corinthians is Paul trying to bring some order and resolve some of these disputes. So he begins earlier in the last chapter by talking about how they are the body of Christ, how they have different gifts and different insights, and yet they all are stuck with one another. And then he says, even as he offers this description of being one body, he says, and I shall show you a more excellent way. And then he offers this profound description of what love should be like. Love is patience. It is kindness. It is not being rude to one another. It is not being so full of yourself that you boast to everyone what a great Christian you are. Apparently there were some folks in Corinth who could speak in tongues who had that problem. Love is patient and merciful, and it puts up with all sorts of things. It bears with one another. But what this instruction about this behavior, about who we should be, is towards, is not geared strictly to the people who already love us. That description of love we recognize because the people who love us, our friends, our parents, our grandparents, that's what their love for us is like, right? It's patient with us. It puts up with a lot from us. It never ends. It never dies. We learn to love from people who already love us. But Paul is not talking strictly about how we love one another when we actually do have people who love. He's talking about taking that kind of love that we learn from the people who love us, that we learn from the way God loves us, and applying it to the people who are pissing us off. He's talking about loving beyond those who love us to all the people that we have difficulty loving. So in many ways, the Skillet song does a better job of capturing what that love is like than most of our romantic ballads. It's one of the reasons why when I looked at the list of songs that the youth had suggested, I looked at that and I called up Seth. I said, that's the one I want for the sequence in. Seth, I have to say, I give him credit. He said, okay, Reverendson. He's not telling me what he really thought of that idea, which I'm grateful for. But this sense of having to love not just those who have treated us well and treated us appropriately, but those who have spit in our face, hopefully not literally, but probably metaphorically, that's a much harder thing to learn to do. It's a much harder thing to be patient and merciful and to bear with and forgiving of people who are is that they are strangers in need, of people with whom we struggle to love. As a brief aside, I want to also say that while Paul is definitely talking about people who are difficult to love and who we have not yet learned to love, what he's not talking about is remaining in an abusive or violent relationship because we are sure that it is about love. If you're reading Paul's description of love, you know that it bears no resemblance at all to the behavior that happens in an abusive relationship. Love lifts up and makes whole. Abuse and violence tears down and destroys. Some people think that the two are related because they've grown up in situations where love was used as an excuse for that kind of behavior. And sometimes we think we love somebody, we truly love somebody who's in that, trapped in that cycle, we think that means we have to put up with that kind of abuse because we love them. But let me tell you that entering into that cycle, feeding that cycle of violence and abuse, is not a loving thing to do. That in fact, in those settings where love has been corrupted and destroyed by violence and by hatred and by anger, the most loving thing we can do is walk away. Love means loving enough to keep with patience and mercy, and sometimes it means walking away so that we don't get trapped in those cycles. Which, by the way, is what Jesus does in our gospel. In our gospel today, Jesus comes to his hometown, to people who know him and love him, the people who taught him what it meant to be a child of God. And then he gets them quite annoyed, because he comes and he reads from the book of Isaiah the promise of what the world would be like if we all loved the way Paul describes loving, that there would be no more oppression, that there would be healing for all who struggle, that in fact there would be justice everywhere if only we loved the way Paul describes loving. And then he says to them, oh, well, you thought that was just for you? You thought that good news was just for the people who are in my inner circle, the people who know me and love me? No, 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 no! God has a long track record of bringing that good news of who we should love precisely to the people that we don't know how to love. Precisely to the people who don't know about loving the way Paul talks about loving. No! Try and throw him off a cliff. It is still hard for us today to hear Paul's words of loving one another, of loving is the more excellent way, of love is patience and kindness, mercy, forbearance, and then be told it's for those other people too. It is for, yes, the people in your circle, but also most especially it is for the people who have never been anywhere near you. It is for the people outside your circle, outside your church, outside your families, outside your borders. This love is meant to be shown to everyone. This love is not just for you. I'm fairly grateful that we don't tend to throw preachers off cliffs when they tell you that anymore.
Only in their hometown.
Only in their hometown. There we go. So if I go home, I'm in trouble, Elizabeth says. But it's still hard for us to hear today. Because we're good at practicing that love within our circles and our boundaries. But if you listen to the people outside our boundaries about our conversations, about immigrants, about refugees, about people who are not part of our religious faith, who are not with part of our country and our nation, you will much harder to hear. It's hard for us to love outside those borders. And when Jesus comes and says, no, that love is for them too, it's still hard for us to do it. We always turn first to practicing love with the people who taught us to love. As we got ready for this youth service, I asked our teenagers to send me a prayer request. And we used that as the basis for the prayers of the people this week. And as we pray, they're wonderful, by the way. They are drawn from their heart, drawn from the people they love, drawn in so many ways to the things that we are all concerned about. And they're also drawn from our circle. They are drawn from the people we know, from our church, from our school, from our neighborhoods. And that's as it should be, because that's where we learn to love the way Paul describes. But as we come to the space in the service where we invite you to offer petitions, I'd like to invite you all to also offer names or offer things we should pray for the people outside of our borders and our boundaries, for the people outside of our circle. I'd like to invite you to write it down in the bulletin or on a scrap of paper and hand it to me as you walk out today. Because we're going to use these same prayers of the people next week when the bishop comes. And having prayed for those things that are nearest and dearest to our hearts, I'd also like us, with the bishop, to pray for those things and those people that we are still learning to love. For those people that it's still hard for us to cross boundaries to get to. That it still takes an effort of will to remember to love them with patience and kindness and gentleness. Because that's the call of the Christian life. That's what it means to be a community that prays, that we learn what it means to love this way here within our own walls, within our own families, and within our own community. And then we take it outside of those places of safety. We take it outside and beyond those borders and boundaries. And we share the love and the good news of Christ in all the places where God's good news is so desperately needed. Amen.